welcome to
Story Time with David and Sleepy David and Mommy.
Sleepy David and Mommy. We are reading Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. This is the islet. There's a light switch above that, honey. If you push that other light switch, that'll make that little light go out too. Chapter 14, The Islet. With my stepping ashore, I began the most unhappy part of my adventures. It was 12:30 in the morning, and though the wind was broken by the land, it was a cold night, and I dared not sit down, for I thought I should have frozen, but took off my shoes and walked to and fro upon the sand, barefoot, and beating my breast with infinite weariness. There was no sound of man or cattle, not a cock crew, though it was about the hour of their first waking. Only the surf broke outside in the distance, which put me in mind of my perils and those of my friend.
What's Ellenbrook?
Ellenbrook.
Where is he?
I don't know. To walk by the sea at that hour of the morning and in a place so desert-like and lonesome struck me with a kind of fear. As soon as the day began to break, I put on my shoes and climbed a hill, the ruggedest scramble I ever undertook, falling the whole way between big blocks of granite or leaping from one to another. When I got to the top, the dawn was come, and there was no sign of the brig, which must have lifted from reef and sunk. It must have lifted off of the reef and sunk.
Bragged Alan with it.
I thought Alan was thrown from the boat, but I'm not sure, from the ship.
No, that was Jim.
And that was Davy.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. The boat, too, was nowhere to be seen. That was the jolly boat. Honey, can you go close the door so we don't disturb Grammy and Papa? We're reading. Just don't slam it, okay? The boat, too, was nowhere to be seen. There was never a sail upon the ocean, and in what I could see of the land was neither house nor man. Good job, honey. I was afraid to think of what had befallen my shipmates, and afraid to look longer at so empty a scene. What with my wet clothes and weariness and my belly that now began to ache with hunger, I had enough to trouble me without that. So I set off eastward along the south coast, hoping to find a house where I might warm myself and perhaps get news of those that I had lost. And the worst, I considered the sun would soon rinse and dry my clothes. At the worst. After a while, my way was stopped by a creek or inlet of the sea, which seemed to run pretty deep into the land, and as I had no means to get across, I must needs change my direction to go about the end of it. It was still the roughest kind of walking, indeed the whole, not only of Ararat, but of the neighboring part of Mull, which they called the Ross, is nothing but a jumble of granite rocks, with heather in among. At the first, the creek kept narrowing as I had looked to see, but presently, to my surprise, it began to widen out again. At this I scratched my head, but still had no notion of the truth, until at last I came to a rising ground, and it burst upon me all in a moment that I was cast upon a little barren isle, and cut off on every side by the salt seas. He just figured out that he's on a teeny tiny island called an islet. He's not actually on a land that might have a bunch of people on it. He might be stuck on an island with nobody on there who could help him.
What about Benjamin Gunn?
Well, he was in a different book, sweetheart.
Benjamin Gunn?
Mm-hmm. He was in Treasure Island, remember?
No, I'm talking about Benjamin.
You're talking about Alan Breck, who you think is also the same person as Benjamin Gunn?
No, you're thinking of Benjamin. I'm talking about Benjamin.
Benjamin Gunn?
Yeah.
Benjamin. I don't know Benjamin Gunn. Instead of the sun rising to dry me, it came on to rain with a thick mist, so that my case was lamentable. I stood in the rain and shivered and wondered what to do, till it occurred to me that perhaps the creek was fordable. It means he could go across it. Back I went to the narrowest part and waded in. But not 3 yards from shore, I plumped in head over ears, and if I ever was heard of more, it was rather by God's grace than my own prudence. I was no wetter, for that could hardly be,
God's grace?
I was all the colder for this mishap.
What's God's grace?
God's grace means that it's being very fortunate. You know, that...
Can you... we watch an episode
of the children? No, we're reading a book right now. That God was looking out for you and helped you to do something. Should we not read this tonight?
No.
I was no wetter, for that could hardly be, but I was all the colder for this mishap, and having lost another hope, was the more unhappy. And now, all at once, a yard came in my head. What had carried me through the roost would surely serve me to cross this quiet little creek in safety. With that, I set off, undaunted, across the top of the isle to fetch and carry it back. It was a weary tramp in all ways.
Carry what back?
And if hope had not buoyed me up...
Carry what back?
Wait and see if he explains it, okay? If hope had not buoyed me up, I must have cast myself down and given up. Whether with the salt sea or because I was growing fevered, I was distressed with thirst and had to stop as I went and drink the peaty water out of the hags. I came to the bay at last, more dead than alive, and at first glance I thought the yard was something farther out.
Than alive?
That's an expression, sweetheart. It means that he's just extremely tired.
Then awake.
And at first glance I thought the yard was something farther out than when I had left it. In I went, for the third time, into the sea. The sand was smooth and firm, and shelved gradually down, so that I could wade out till the water was almost to my neck, and the little waves splashed into my face. But at that depth my feet began to leave me, and I durst venture no farther. As for the yard, I saw it bobbing very quietly some 20 feet beyond. So the yard he's referring to is the long piece of wood that he held on to while he was floating in the ocean before he landed on the islet. So now he's going to go get it and try to carry it to the creek and use it to get across. Because I don't think he can swim very well.
I would just, if there's stones, I would just walk on the stones.
There aren't any stones, though. He's got to swim, but he's not a good swimmer like
Why
you.
Why doesn't he just put stones in?
Probably not any stones on the island that he could use.
Can't use stones
or stones. There might not be stones on the island. I had borne up well until this last disappointment, but at that I came ashore and flung myself down upon the sands and wept. The time I spent on this island is still so horrible a thought to me that I must pass it lightly over. In all the books I have read of people cast away, they had either their pockets full of tools or a chest of things that would be thrown upon the beach along with them, as if on purpose. My case was very different. I had nothing in my pockets but money and Alan's silver button. And being inland bred, I was...
Money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had some money in his pockets, apparently.
Wow.
And being inland bred, I was as much short of knowledge as of means.
Why did he have money?
What, honey?
Why did he have money?
I think we should stop reading tonight, sweetheart. Because if you ask questions after every sentence, I'm not going to be able to finish this chapter.
No.
Okay, can you just try to listen?
Okay.
I knew, indeed, that shellfish were counted good to eat, and among the rocks of the isle I found a great plenty of limpets, which at first I could scarcely strike from their places, not knowing the quickness to be needed. There were, besides, some of the shells that we call buckies. I think periwinkle is the English name. Of these two I made my whole diet, devouring them cold and raw as I found them, and so hungry was I. At first they seemed to me delicious. Perhaps they were out of season, or perhaps there was something wrong in the sea about my island. But at least I had no sooner eaten my first meal than I was seized with giddiness and retching, which means vomiting, and lay for a long time no better than dead. A second trial of the same food, indeed I had no other, did better with me, and revived my strength. But as long as I was on the island, I never knew what to expect when I had eaten. Sometimes all was well, and sometimes I was thrown into miserable sickness, nor could I ever distinguish what particular fish it was that hurt me. All day it streamed rain. The island ran like a sop, and there was no dry spot to be found. and when I lay down that night between two boulders that made a kind of roof, my feet were in a bog. The second day I crossed the island to all sides. There was no one part of it better than the other.
Maybe some podcast listeners don't know what a bog is. Same with me.
Do you want to know what a bog is?
Yeah.
It's like a big muddy pit, almost. But it's really big, and it's got plants growing out of it.
So that makes sense. It's a bog.
Yeah, like in a big mud, huge mud puddle.
Plants.
Hmm?
Plants.
Yes. With plants and animals in it.
What kind?
I don't know. The next day I crossed the island to all sides. There was no one part better of it than the other. It was all desolate and rocky, nothing living in it but game birds, which I lacked the means to kill, and the gulls, which haunted the outlying rocks in a prodigious number. But the creek or strait that cut off the isle from the mainland of the Ross opened out on the north into the bay, and the bay again opened into the Sound of Iona, and it was the neighborhood of this place that I chose to be my home. Though I had thought upon the very name of home in such a spot, I must have burst out weeping. I had good reasons for my choice. There was in this part of the isle a little hut of a house, like a pig's hut, where fishers used to sleep when they came there upon their business. But the turf roof of it had fallen entirely in, so that the hut was of no use to me, and gave me less shelter than my rocks. What was more important, the shellfish on which I lived grew there in a plenty. When the tide was out, I could gather a peck at a time, and this was doubtless a convenience. But the other reason went deeper. I had become in no way used to the horrid solitude of the isle, but still looked round me on all sides like a man that was hunted, between fear and hope that I might see some human creature coming. Now, from a little up on the hillside over the bay, I could catch a sight of a great ancient church and the roofs of the people's houses in Iona. And on the other hand, over the low country of the Ross, I saw smoke go up, morning and evening, as if from a homestead in a hollow of the land. So he can see where the people are, but he can't get to them, because he can't swim across the water that's there.
Where are the people?
He can see them.
Where are they?
They're so he's over here, and they're way over there. Like, he can see their village, but he can't get there because there's this huge body of water in between him and there, and he can't swim.
So there's not like a pathway
that
they took?
Nope.
How did the villagers get to their village?
From a boat, but he doesn't have a boat. And he can't swim, so he's stuck.
Why does he just go around?
Can't. It's all water.
Like that light wide. It's like if this is the other one.
We're gonna pause it here, okay? You're very tired tonight.
Why, Mom?
Because you're very tired. We'll just read half of it tonight, and we'll read the other half tomorrow. I saw smoke go up morning and evening as if from a homestead in a hollow of the land. I used to watch this smoke when I was wet and cold, and I had my head half turned with loneliness, and think of the fireside and the company till my heart burned. It was all the same roofs, same with the roofs of Iona. Altogether, this sight I had of men's homes and comfortable lives, although it put a point on my own sufferings, yet kept hope alive, and helped me eat my raw shellfish, which I had soon grown to be disgusted by, and saved me from the sense of horror I had whenever I was quite alone with the dead rocks and fowls and rain and the cold sea. All right, sweetheart, we're going to end it there, okay? And say goodnight, podcast listeners. Goodnight, podcast listeners. We will finish chapter 14 next time. Bye!